Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Wednesday, April 17th. The Denver Post reports that Colorado is the only Western state that doesn't allow treated gray water to be used for any purpose, but a proposal scheduled to be heard today in a Senate committee would change that. Gray water is wastewater in a building that comes from showers, hand washing sinks, and washing machines. It does not come from toilets, urinals, or kitchen sinks. House Bill 1044, sponsored by Senator Gail Schwartz and Representative Randy Fisher, legalizes the use of gray water, calls for the development of regulations to protect the public health, and gives cities and counties the discretion to offer gray water permits to single or multifamily dwellings. Bill supporters say a household with four people could save 58,000 gallons of water a year if it had a gray water filtration system installed. A similar bill died last year in its first House committee amid concerns it would harm downstream water rights. Fisher said he reworked the bill, which was then endorsed by the Colorado Water Congress. The House unanimously passed the measure, which will be heard today by the Senate Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Energy Committee. Senator Schwartz said that a number of Colorado's wastewater treatment facilities are aging and need to be updated. She said the use of gray water would mean less input into those plants. Representative Fisher said he got the idea for carrying the bill from two Colorado State University professors who have been working on gray water issues. They have a gray water disinfectant vat set up in one of the residence halls on the CSU campus and have been testing the system. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that a Montrose County man who shot a sheriff's deputy before turning a gun on himself last month was not under the influence of alcohol or illicit drugs. The Montrose County Coroner's Office told the Sentinel that toxicology tests showed 52-year-old Kent Calhoun had a blood alcohol level well below 0.08%, Colorado's legal threshold for driving under the influence of alcohol. The tests also showed no drugs of abuse in Calhoun's system. Montrose coroner Dr. Thomas Canfield said on Monday that the results of the report were clean. Calhoun died of a contact gunshot wound to the chest in what has been ruled suicide, meaning the barrel of the weapon had been placed against his chest, Canfield said. A .44-caliber revolver was recovered near Calhoun's body. The body was found by authorities after entering a home at 81301 East 81 Road, some 8 hours after Calhoun opened fire on Montrose County Sheriff's deputies Corey Larson and Dustin Harlow. The deputies were fired upon while trying to contact Calhoun as the suspect in a domestic violence call reported at 1:49 a.m. on March 25th. Harlow wasn't injured, while Larson was shot in the abdomen. A protective vest he was wearing stopped the second round. The president of the Fruitland Irrigation Company told the Sentinel that Calhoun had recently been fired from his job as a ditch rider and had 30 days to leave the Crawford area home after losing his driver's license because of an alcohol-impaired driving arrest. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation continues to investigate the incident. The Denver Post reports the last snowstorm boosted snowpack in the reservoir-rich Colorado River Basin from a woeful 72% of average on February 2nd to a promising 93% on Tuesday. From Saturday to Tuesday, the percentage against the 30-year average jumped by 7 points. State climatologist Nolan Deskin said Tuesday afternoon that another big system should arrive in the mountains Wednesday. Areas that saw more than 2 feet of very wet snow Sunday and Monday could pick up as much as 18 more inches today, he said. Colorado's snowpack typically begins to melt on April 10th, but a week later this year, the snowpack is still mounting, so the percentage of average looks higher, measured against past numbers. The longer the snow stays, the better. A slow melt would allow the thawing ground in the mountains and foothills to absorb more of the moisture to green up the landscape more nicely, which helps deter spring fires. After one of the driest and warmest Marches on record last year, Colorado was pummeled by huge wildfires, and all but two counties were deemed crop disaster areas. The snowpack accumulating now could come down the mountains in a gush as the weather warms up later this spring. Denver's 10 reservoirs haven't been full since July 2011, so there is a lot of ground to make up for last year, said Bob Steger, the utility's manager of raw water supply. Forecasters with the Colorado Avalanche Information Center strongly urges motorists to check conditions and highway closures before heading out on mountain travel and have adequate snow tires. Here is a look at the forecasted accumulations on the state's western passes for today and tonight. McClure Pass, 7 to 15 inches of accumulation. Grand Mesa, 3 to 10 inches. Monarch, 3 to 9 inches. Wolf Creek, 3 to 9 inches. Red Mountain, 8 to 15 inches. And Lizard Head Pass, 0 to 4 inches accumulation is expected. Some say it's bringing voting into the 21st century. Three-quarters of the county clerks in the state support it, saying it will modernize and simplify the voting system, not to mention save taxpayers' money. House Bill 1303 calls for counties to deliver ballots by mail, offers a variety of ways to cast votes, and improves clerks' abilities to update records. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports on Delta County Clerk Ann Eddins' endorsement of the bill.
Ann Eddins has been county clerk for more than a decade, and before that she worked in the county clerk's office. She knows the ins and outs of voting and watches closely the habits of Delta County's 22,000 registered voters. Eddins says the new bill simply codifies a lot of what is already being done by clerks around the state.
It really, to me, makes the law reflect the way we're actually doing elections. 78% of Delta County voters voted by mail in the 2012 general election, so they're choosing to vote by mail.
Eddins told the commissioners about a new term, delivery by mail. It means that registered voters will get ballots by mail, but can vote in a variety of ways. In person, by mail, early, or on election day. The bill does away with precinct voting and uses service centers. For example, in Delta County, the courthouse or the North Fork Annex. The most controversial provision would allow voters to register on election day. Commissioner Bruce Hovde.
The concern I have is not the mail-in ballot, because you've proved that works and everything. It's the possible voter fraud of same-day registration.
We will have a live score, which is our voter registration system, at every place that you can register to vote. This allows us to check and see if the person has already had a mail ballot, been delivered a ballot, or turned in a mail ballot. And this allows us to look at statewide. So if they're in another county and they're just and they received a ballot in that county, we have the capability to cancel that ballot and issue them a new ballot for here.
Eddins and election supervisor Renee Loy believe the bill guards against fraud and may save as much as $6,000 per election. Eddins says House Bill 1303 offers the best of options for voters.
Colorado will be unique in the United States. The two states have all-mail ballots, and that's Oregon and Washington. But they don't have the number of drop-off locations. We don't have the long lines and stuff because of people voting by mail. But yet we're offering all the services.
Eddins asked the commissioners to support the bill. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Thus concludes your daily newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.